Call to order of the meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission for River Forest, Thursday, March 27th. Luke, can you take the roll, please?
All righty. Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White.
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand.
Aye.
Commissioner Reno Ogden.
Here.
Commissioner Sager.
Here.
Commissioner Krasinski.
Here.
Commissioner Murr.
Okay. First item, public comments. I see no one present in our room other than members of the commission and Luke.
No. No, there is no one on Zoom.
And have you received anything in writing?
Have not.
Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes. Are there any comments?
I got one. Although after my third daughter appeared, I was Rainy Ogden. Rain O Ogden. R-A-I-N-O.
Well said. Carla?
I'm
Scott?
Good.
Jan? John? I have one comment. It's in section four. And it deals with, in terms of providing some background items on the agenda, I noted that Luke and I had initial discussions requesting that the village attorney identify some steps. I was not part of any conversations with the village attorney. There are also a couple of things in Luke's memo. One is an insertion on the first page of his memo that references this. The second is just a couple of technical things. One, the last commission meeting was on February 20th, not January 23rd. In the attachment, the requests I sent to Luke were sent on March 13th. So, other than that, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes as revised?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White.
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand. Commissioner Reno Ogden.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski.
Aye.
Passes.
Okay. All right. Between now, our last meeting and now, I've done a little bit of a deep dive into our ordinance, as well as just kind of step back a little bit and wrote a few notes out as to what I believe the three questions that were raised at the last meeting. And if I could, I'd like to sort of deal with them in sequence. The first, and with respect to the current ordinance, section 13.1-1-7A says that no alteration, as defined broadly within the ordinance, to a significant property as defined can be accomplished without a review or comment by the HPC within certain required time limits. Those time limits are in 13.1-7B. It's 30 days or 7 days, respect to windows, from the submission of a completed building permit application, including architectural elevations, materials, floor, and site plans. Now, one of the things that the commission has discussed was the desirability of the commission to have an advisory review and comment of its suggestions before the submission of a building permit application. In fact, before someone currently comes in front of us, they do not have to have a building permit in hand, but merely they must have filed their application for a permit. However, that still requires the same level of attention and financial outlay with respect to architects, engineers, et cetera, et cetera. So the question is then, do we delete the requirement of that the building permit be submitted prior to our review. And if we do, then do we then transfer the review of certain applications to the Architecture Review Commission? First, in terms of the submission of the building permit, it kind of raises two questions. One, how much info will we require in order to do our advisory review with respect to an application with respect to an alteration? If in fact we change it so that it's not tied to submission of a building permit, we're going to have to spell out what we would require. Secondly, when does the time clock start to run? Right now, the time clock starts to run when the commission indicates that everything has been received with respect to the application for our review, which is typically looking at a commission meeting, looking at what has been done with respect to the filing of the building permit. So let's deal with those in order. First, what do the commission members feel we need in terms of the requirements in order to review?
I think it would be at the completion of the project schematic design, which would include floor plans and exterior elevations.
John? I agree. Yeah, that's a typical, you know, process that the architect goes through that would make sense. And so the homeowner hasn't gone too far in their fee. So makes sense.
And that design usually 20% of the architect's fee or less.
Okay.
Existing plans, photographs of existing elevations and sketch plan, sketch elevations, what's proposed for the exterior.
Commissioner Porin, Commissioner Raynaud, can you guys turn your mics on?
Oh, no, it wasn't. Sorry about that.
It's supposed to be green.
All right. Should I repeat what I said, or is that you got it?
In summary, that would be helpful.
Yes.
Okay. That we should have the homeowner and architect submit schematic design drawings indicating floor plans and proposed exteriors, along with photographs or drawings of the existing exteriors and the existing plans.
Which makes sense in the typical process of architectural design, where the homeowner has not gone too far down the road of spending their fee on that project.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other thoughts on that sort of sub question?
Whatever the architect said.
The professionals have spoken. As appropriate. Okay. So the question then is, when does the time clock for review start?
I suppose it could start when that meeting is held, or when that information is given to us. It's one of those two, I would think.
In terms of the meeting, right now, and again, rather than just trying to pull out a sentence or two, however this gets amended, and whomever amends it, it's going to have to be done by basically restating, as opposed to take the sentence out, insert that, because yeah, that becomes unwieldy and unworkable unless you do this for a living or have some desire for complexity that most people don't. Right now, it runs from the submission of those materials. So
it's 30 days, you said, Dave?
It's 30 days with respect to alterations with respect to more than 20% of a building facade that is viewable from a public street. The exception would be windows, and there's all, would be windows basically. And that goes to the Architecture Review Subcommittee.
I was thinking out loud, if we reject some form of their schematic, then they would have to get back to us before that 30 day with their, I would, or have enough from us where they feel comfortable. I can have things ready to go by, go for my permit at that point. I'm not sure if how you navigate that is better to some vehicle or you've got to get back to us within a week or 2 weeks of your revised drawings for us to review, because you'll be done online, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think we sort of need to come to grips with. One of the items that Luke included in the package is I asked him to get some information from the Village of Oak Park, not because we want to have the same level of oversight and authority that the HPC and Oak Park does, but to see how they deal with it. And the way they deal with it is they deal with it with either a conditional COA or a provisional COA. And at the time that the building application is permit application is submitted, then village staff confirms that in fact what has been submitted for the building permit application is, and there's a specific phrase, it's like reasonably consistent with what was in our final, with their final comments as an HPC reviewing the COA application. Difference, they've got the authority to say, no, we don't, we are purely advisory. So it's, there's a little bit of a different dynamic going on there.
I know my experience with the big boys downtown Chicago and the Landmarks Commission, they'll look at a project and say, we can handle this in-house with our limited staff or one or two point people. We then do schematic design and they say, yeah, that looks good. You're on the right track. Or if it's a much more, if it's a massive job or they don't like what we've done, they say, you can change this or you can try to submit that. You're going to go before the whole board at that point and seek their approval. And they write a recommendation to the board that says, we don't like this. Here's why. But being advisory, you're right. It throws a whole other wrench into
we're
it.
We're advisory only. And it's, you know, we have to have enough information that we're comfortable with what that's what their intent is. Now, they can always change their intent. We have had at least two instances I'm aware of, and my tenor, which is the same as yours from the inception, that people have said, I'm doing A, and we commented and didn't like it, and they immediately turned and did B, which was from our perspective, the worst of the possible alternatives. There's because it's advisory, there's really no way to
what does our CA do for certificate of approval is meaningless then. Is that
it's what it is, and it's interesting because the flow chart calls it a certificate of appropriateness. The definitions section calls it a certificate of appropriateness, but the section within the ordinance just refers to it as a review. It doesn't speak in terms of a certificate of appropriateness, which is just one of those other inconsistencies that ought to be cleaned up.
I'd like to use the CA as some stamp of approval if we could, or something that means more than people and just go, I don't care what you're saying, we're doing this.
We have the ability to withhold it in the case of a demolition, and we'll come to demolitions later. That's like item two, as well as dealing with accessory buildings, which are part of the demolition. And that's how we sort of got all into this approach of, hey, do we want to get back into the ordinance and do a couple of things to update based upon what our experience has been?
Sure, like the verbiage by getting in front of us with schematic and then assuming it's, you know, we give a conditional approval. And if they stick with that for the final thing, then we're good.
Okay.
We've had some influence, and we've done our job, and people respect the historical nature of what they're doing.
I guess what we could then do, then, maybe we can do this. And I'm thinking off the top of my head. If we approve, then it's a conditional approval.
Mm-hmm.
If they elect to submit building plans which are not in accordance with our conditional approval, then they have to wait 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah, there you
then
go.
That's when the 30-day kicks in. Although we then have to alter the time frame, because right now it says that we'll get back, that the clock for them in terms of filing applications after runs from either the review or the expiration of 30 days, whichever's first. It's not really first.
You got to change that verbiage. At least it's not much, but at least it's something we can.
Yeah.
We have one claw.
Right.
Yeah.
I
like this approach in that at least we're getting to them before they've submitted the permit. So we can have a little bit more potential influence.
Agreed.
But you're right. We're advisory. So they may say, well, nice idea, but we're going to go this direction.
Most people have not been that way.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No. No, it was really very much the outlier. Two out of 17 years isn't bad.
And I know that guy. He doesn't like me.
Okay. So. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. The second one, then, when does the time clock for a review start? Because we've got 30 days to review from when we get something. I guess because this is not a demolition, if for some reason we don't have a meeting scheduled or can't obtain a quorum within the required 30 days from their satisfying whatever we say they have to satisfy, then the architecture review subcommittee can view it. Distinction being, as currently written, the ordinance precludes the architecture review subcommittee from having anything to do with demolition. Okay, so the time clock starts when HPC has received the required information.
And a conditional approval wipes that time clock out. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you get a conditional approval, then as long as you file a building consistent with what we're talking about now, as long as you file a building permit application that's substantially consistent with that, then you're good to go. If you don't, then you get the time period.
Yeah, but the Oak Park quote was fine for that.
They're different. They're different because they have the ability to say no.
Yeah.
And in large part, their ordinance deals with landmarks. And that's something that while our ordinance provides for the creation of landmarks, no one has ever stepped up and said, hey, I want to landmark my property. Okay.
So our initial meeting will be a requirement for building permit submission?
I'm sorry, John. John, could you
read that? The initial meeting with our group here would be a requirement prior to submitting for building permit.
The schematic design package, Dave.
Or do you want, I think, because it's a significant property. And it's in this instance, we're talking about the basically the principal structure or structures. So I think yes.
Okay.
So to that extent, we sort of still have the two meeting process.
Right.
It's just that it's really defined what it is a little bit tighter.
Yeah. And that's an extra tooth we have, right? So
right. We're saying that we require a schematic design package so we can make a decision on that. And then there's will be verbiage that waives your time limit. And if the building permit submission is not drastically different than that, you continue. If it is drastically different, then the 30 day kicks in at that point.
Got it.
Now, this currently says that we have to review. So I guess what we would wind up doing, to be safe, is we would, so we didn't approve something by lapse of time, because currently we have 30 days to review from whenever we say we have a completed package, then meeting number two has to be within 30 days less some comfort level in case we can't get a quorum.
Could we say our next scheduled meeting or next legal meeting, next quorum filled meeting? What's the term for that?
Yeah, it would be. Although I think I remember correctly, the village board at the time liked the 30 day, the hard number
mm-hmm.
that someone could work with. So.
Hop in here, and I have a section, just some verbiage in the already exist in the existing ordinance that I think might help out with this. All other proposed alterations requiring review, except proposed demolition, shall be reviewed by the commission at its next scheduled meeting within 30 days following the commission's receipt of such completed applications and materials. Goes on further, but that might be a good starting sentence for what we're looking to do here, what the commission is looking to do here.
Yeah, that's the 30 days. The question is, what if we don't or can't have a meeting within 30 days?
It goes on in here to, there is a little bit about the architectural, the subcommittee. I think that is already existing in our code that the committee has permissions to review stuff, once again, except proposed demolition.
Yeah.
So that's in there. So, commission comprised of two members if no commission meeting is scheduled to occur or held within such 30 days. Any application denied without a public hearing shall be set for a public hearing at the request of the applicant.
Yep.
We still have the ability in post-COVID times to have a Zoom member part of it to maintain a quorum.
Interesting.
In order to have a quorum, you have to have a quorum present physically.
Mm.
But people who are, in order to have a commissioner participate via Zoom or by some other telephonic means, the quorum that's physically present together has to have a motion which passes to allow that person or persons to participate, and secondly, to allow that person or persons the ability to vote.
So we can do that, and then we have a quorum, correct?
You need a physical quorum before you do that.
Yeah. Oh.
So that's quorum plus. So you need four.
Gotcha.
You need four physically present.
Luke doesn't count.
So, what about this? Do we then want to do the sufficiency review for the application by the Architectural Review Subcommittee?
That'd be fine. Mm-hmm.
And then what that means is we would then just have to have a meeting within 30 days of the review by the subcommittee. And the architecture subcommittee is going to review when it's able.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you a little bit of
leeway.
Bit
of, yeah.
That probably speeds up the process by doing that.
Yeah, it does. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Ken, if I could for a second, the ordinance does have a list of what is required to submit for a COA. So maybe we could lean on this for what is required for that preliminary meeting as well. If you guys want me to breathe through it really quick for you. Okay.
Please.
So just some background, how I usually handle it is I just send them a little Word template of the spaces, like, so it's applicant's name, owner's name, if different than the applicant, the street address and legal description, a site plan and front, side, and rear elevation drawings, a brief description and photographs of the structures, buildings, and landscape features on the site, and then a detailed description of the proposed alteration or demolition, together with pictorial renditions indicating how and to what extent such proposed changes will affect the subject property, an identification of any architect or developer involved in the project, and such other relevant information as requested by the village administrator or the commission may acquire.
I would say a site plan or plat of survey of the existing project, photographs of the existing exterior, all sides visible from public view, and then existing, boy, how would you, or a plan illustrating what's existing and what's being added. That kind of makes, save them having to do with existing plans. At least we've got show what's existing and what's being added. That would be, and then the elevations of what's existing and what's being added. Sketch elevations be fine. Yeah. Sketch plans as well. You use the word sketch so it's not so daunting.
You're just trying to define, like, if they just gave us an elevation, we don't know what was there before.
Mm-hmm.
So that
the photographs will tell us what was there before, so at least
right.
We can see
yeah.
what's being added. And if the plans often will show existing is not colored in and new is colored in or some differentiation to show what's being bumped into it.
I mean, I like the concept of not changing that too much because the verbiage sounds right, you know, elevations. And
it's just a little more than we need at that point.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know if it's necessary to say it can be sketch form, you know, there's really no definition. So maybe we're okay with what it is. It
just, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least it's a more bite-sized package than that big list you just read to us, I think, Luke.
Yeah, because the window subcommittees can review. Those can be kind of bite-sized sometimes. And so.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
The one thing that will require some careful noodling, legal term, is the timing of when the architectural review subcommittee reviews what's been submitted to it. So we don't get caught in the 30-day trek bag.
Could it be a conditional approval from the architectural subcommittee and it starts then? Yeah. Or I guess the conditional approval, you're kind of done.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. You're done. There's only submit.
Weren't we discussing the architectural subcommittee being utilized to for that initial the acceptance of the application? So I guess they're not, the application is not deemed, it would be the application being deemed complete, not approved, was what I felt the discussion there was about, correct?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I don't think we want to take the review out of the hands of the group.
Then could it be 30 days from our next meeting? Could it be? So the whole commission can then look at it if we don't approve it.
What's the current deadline? Like when you send those window packages, is
it's explicitly 7 days?
It's 7 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Which,
yes, John's always delinquent on that stuff.
I'm always waiting for you to respond so I can. 7 days to look at the package and see if it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that initial review, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments or questions about the timing of alteration reviews and their submissions?
How about a hypothetical? Let's walk through a hypothetical. So you get a phone call, Commissioner, Deputy
Clerk.
Luke Masella, and you do things and you find out if you have to look and see if this property is a significant property. And we won't talk about demolition. We're going to talk about alterations. And so at that point, you say, and it's a significant property, it's an alteration, like over in Oak and Bonnie Bray, or what was that, Quick and Bonnie Bray. And so you say to the owner, what? Because the owner has to know what the process is.
He will send him the package.
So right now, the way it works right now, just to put that down for the commission, is if that were to happen right now, I would say, because I think the ordinance right now explicitly says we don't touch anything until we have a building permit. But thinking the
application.
So, yes. Yes. Key what? Difference there.
The yeah. What?
A building application has been submitted.
Application for a building permit, not a permit in hand.
Yes. Key difference there. And so, but for this new, as discussed this evening, obviously still churning up here, I think it would be, if it as is now, I would send them a little piece of paper of what was discussed this evening and be, please send this to me. Well, I guess first off, it would be what work are you doing? Would be my Are you changing the windows? I just got a review for someone's back deck. So that would not come under the commission's purview. So, but then if it was, I'm doing a addition on my home that is over 20% of the viewable facade from the street, then I would send that initial form that was created this evening and I'll be like, please fill this out. Well, I guess because we had the creation of the subcommittee being this evening, we discussed the subcommittee being allowed to review the initial application. So I guess I am bogged down here for a second because would the initial review for acceptance of completeness by the subcommittee, where does that initial review for the entirety that we had discussed with the timer come into play? Are we talking about two hypothetically new meetings this evening, or am I mixing them together?
Well, I understand that the package would go to you. You disperse it to the subcommittee.
Yes.
If it's a conditional approval,
mm-hmm.
time doesn't come into play. If it's not approved, then we haven't until we have a time limit within another 7 days or something to get it there. If not.
Question.
Yep.
Do we want to, I had thought that what we were talking about is when the property owner submits plans to Luke, he then sends it to the architecture review subcommittee, which then would determine whether, in fact, the application is complete. And that then starts the clock. Okay. And then if it is something, you know, modest like windows, architecture review subcommittee does it. If, in fact, it's an alteration other than that, then it's the full HPC at a quorum of the HPC at a meeting.
And as all this stands right now, the building permit would not have been submitted, correct?
Correct. Okay. No application is submitted.
No application has been. That is the proposed on the table.
Okay. And what that does is that then means that the quorum of the HPC and then makes its determination as it would now for an alteration, where you get a time savings, if you will, is rather than two commission meetings, typically 30 days-ish apart, you've got the architecture review subcommittee and then whatever the next HPC meeting is. So it's going to be something less than, maybe you save 2 weeks, but 2 weeks is 2 weeks.
It's big, yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, you know, with all due respect, there's 296 of these things left in terms of significant properties. 6 weeks is not a whole heck of a lot to sweat.
No, right.
You know, to go through the process. I mean, it's the reason why we exist, is to
we don't want to lose our integrity.
And promote.
Luke sends out what he needs. They send that back to Luke. Does he send it to all of us or send it just to John or subcommittee?
Sends to the subcommittee.
Gotcha.
The subcommittee then determines whether it's complete. If the subcommittee says it's complete, then it goes to the commission for review.
Gotcha.
If, in fact, the subcommittee says, no, it's not complete, give us this. The clock doesn't start. They have to get it. And when the subcommittee says, yep, and given the fact that the subcommittee is currently composed of two extraordinary experienced architects, it's true, that under those circumstances, you then are in a position to know what you need better than the rest of us in order to have a review, as well as something which is, frankly, to the benefit of the public, not sufficiently burdensome so that they feel, as we've seen in the past, where people have said, gee, I wish I knew what your comments were. My contractor had me buy a basement full of windows that I realized I could have done better for less, but I'm stuck with it. Sorry.
John and I, or the architectural subcommittee, has not granted the power to look at it and say, this is a slam dunk.
Correct.
It has to come before.
Correct. Correct.
God, I want that.
You can sit there, right there.
No power grab. Yeah.
I do have, and I have another example, and that was when Commissioner Forehan was chairperson tempore. And you missed that one, Dave. The architect, and it was for the Oak Street, the Bonnie Bray, and John presented a different plan for the base, or the where the addition would have the stone base, which would extend as the original. And the architect in the audience said, oh, that's a great idea, but we've already put all our permits are in. It's cut in wood now instead of cut in stone, to coin a phrase. But yeah. And so that would be, you know, what we're trying to do then is get to that where the owner or the can make some, and we are very top architects. can have the input, though.
Mm-hmm. For yeah, that's the whole idea here.
Yeah, right. It's advisory. But at least offer it when it might be have some impact.
And it could be very beneficial to the
owner. John has a very intimidating stare.
Yeah.
All right. I am taking the liberty to alter the flowchart I made for amending the village code this evening. So I agree, Jan, the Commissioner Sager, the example is helpful. So I thought for right now, the commission just wants to lay this out very vaguely just so we are all on the same page. I think that would be a great idea just to have in the record. So the starting point would either be I get a phone call or someone submits a building permit not realizing this new process. So then I would send the person the example sheet that was drafted this evening, and it will be more professional header, and please submit these documents to me. Then the applicant will return the documents to me, and I would probably do a preliminary review just myself. Like they ask for photos, there's no photos. Yeah. That's been done before.
Yep. In-house review prior to dispersion to the architectural subcommittee.
Don't acknowledge my spelling. At that point, you guys would review it and give it that preliminary. I guess I'm still.
It's approval of sufficiency.
Yes. Okay.
Well said.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then that would be then at the next regularly scheduled meeting would be that final review for approval, full approval, not as we've been calling in the past couple months, approval, review of completeness is what this one would be. And then the next meeting would be the final review. And then
it would be the review.
Yes.
And if we deem it not sufficient, then there'd be another 7 day or you were, mm-hmm. when it was brought in, then it would be another 7 days. So you could theoretically have 3 or 4 7-day periods.
Mm-hmm. 7 day with respect to windows, yeah, 30 with respect to the other.
Right.
But for the subcommittee, it's going to be
the subcommittee.
Yeah.
And then, okay. Yeah. And then if it's a go from the subcommittee comes to the full commission with a certificate of application, because that's what we're approving. I mean, we're still approving the COA?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that
in
my kind of mind, I think that's still conditional. And then when we'll see the building permit plans, they didn't vary from that. Then it's full review. Is that in case somebody pulls a rug out? And
well,
does it matter, I guess? Does it?
I think my general sense from past conversations in this area is past village boards have liked the idea of having village staff do as much as possible. Accordingly, then what would happen is the architectural review subcommittee would say, yep, we have a completed application, goes to the review by the full HPC. If we say yes, great. If we say yes, then what you have is you have if we say yes, then village staff in the building department would determine whether the building permit application was, you know, got to come up with language, but it's comparable. I mean, it's sufficient. Exactly. There you go. With what the application
submission?
Yes.
To review?
No. What our comments? Yeah. Exactly. I mean, because what we are is we're only advisory. So basically, the only thing is if we say, basically, what happens is if we say yes, conditional approval of a COA, you can file your application for a building permit. Building department staff says, yep, it's reasonably consistent. Permit, go off, no time delay.
So it's
then what happens if we say no, or the building department says, no, not consistent, then that's when your 30 days kicks in, right?
Yeah. That's our one.
That's it.
Our one call.
So yeah. The approval of sufficiency completeness, and maybe you put in some of David, but then that goes back from the subcommittee to staff.
I guess it would be, let's just do a dramatic example. They are saying they're re-roofing, and then they come back with a front addition, and we reviewed a re-roof, and they came before with a new addition. That actually happened this week. Someone, I approved something for a roof, and then they resubmit their application, and staff, the whole process started with, and then they're actually changing it, and they're just doing the roof and now an addition. So I got the alert that I have to re-review. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense on my end.
Well, as long as that happens, as long as that staff knows, here's what mm-hmm. they submitted,
yep.
here's what they're building. Luke, what's going on here? Though?
Yes.
That's another little bit more work for them as I see it.
But I also get, I automatically get review about anything to a historic preservation home. So I would know that I had the architectural thing would already be hand. Yes.
You're the check and balance.
Yes. I would be. Yeah. Like I said, someone tried to put a deck in and I got the review. So.
Yeah. And plus if they start with the roof and now they come up with an addition, that's another project for us. Now we have
that's
for you to say, you've just come up with two. You know, what do you want? Do you want a COA for this, or do you want a COA for this?
And re-roofing is not an issue for us.
Oh, that's right.
It doesn't matter. But...
Yeah, unless it was something like they have a Burma home, and they say, yeah, we're going to have a clay tile, historically appropriate roof, and they submit a building permit application for standing seam metal. Because they just kind of like the shed look all of a sudden.
That's Luke catches that and we're good.
Yeah. Okay. Anything more on this topic before we move on to the next one?
Do we need to vote on this?
Because what's going to happen is I understand the process. Is sometime between now and sometime prior to our next meeting, our draftsman du jour is going to come up with an ordinance that's going to recapitulate all this stuff to take care of it. So, okay, second issue. The ordinance does not currently provide a distinction regarding review of proposed demolition of primary structure or structures and accessory structure or structures on significant properties. I think what we then need to do is we then need to call out the difference between primary structures and accessory structures within the ordinance. To what? What's happened so far, and we talked about this in the last application, the last meeting, and I called it a four-step analysis. My understanding is what the Architectural Review Subcommittee does or would do, and this is something that is... this isn't magic, but just breaking it down into things that you can actually list out. Is a structure situated on a significant property? One. Two, is it mentioned in the survey? Three, is it somewhere in design materials or construction? Is the primary structures? And four, when was the building permit issued? And the when the building permit is issued, that may involve searching through records of the village or the historical society. Because as been pointed out, there are a couple of gaps in the village's records due to fire and flood.
Yep.
So it's more, is it simultaneously or contemporaneous with structure of the principal structures? If at any point in time, the architecture review subcommittee says, nope, if any of these get a no, no COA review is necessary. If yes, then it is reviewed by a quorum of the HPC the same way anything else would be.
Is there anything that's an accessory building that is not a garage or a garage coach house? Is that even possible?
What was that one on the women's club that we had?
Yeah. That's been turned into one garage, I think, effectively. But
discussion about women's garage wasn't a women's club.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So I guess there is a, but there is a.
Well, I mean, you also have instances where there's a property on the southeast corner of William and, is it Chicago, where someone put in a, they demolished their existing garage, put in a three-bay garage, and there's effectively an apartment above it.
Yeah.
That's
you're
more
right.
Than just a garage.
It's like a garage slash coach house.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
You're right.
Okay.
Specific week, I guess. Never mind.
So the ordinance currently excludes demolition from the Architecture Review Subcommittee's review authority. So, following questions. What would the length of delay of the proposed demolition of the accessory structure be? It's when I was sketching this out, I'm thinking, well, what then happens is the only time this kicks in for a review of a demolition is because the architecture review subcommittee has determined, in fact, that there is significance to that structure. Accordingly, even though it's an accessory structure, it probably should undergo the same kind of review that we would with a principal structure.
But we need those four things you mentioned earlier.
In order to get to that level, yes.
Could I add a fifth?
Please.
It has to be at least 50 years old. Because we're only dealing with properties 50 years old.
That's a given, right? For it to be a contributing building or historic, it's got to be more than 50 years old.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, in order to be a significant property. But that's why I said it's got to be either contemporaneous, is simultaneous or reasonably contemporaneous. So someone puts up, I don't know, pick your, you know, current thing, you could look at it and say, nah.
So just for my question from me, so would it be possible, I guess almost as a question of taste, would it be possible to have a significant, like principal significant structure, and then someone after the building of the principal structure created a garage or an accessory, I'm not going to even try to say it, accessory structure on the property that would be deemed
if it's 50 years and it was designed by somebody famous or Paul Harvey lived in it or something that made it significant happen, then it'd be the same thing that would make a home significant or a public building significant.
I mean, I guess, I mean, technically, an accessory structure could have a significance independent of the principal structure. I'll give you, as an example, something I hope would never happen. The Winslow House is destroyed by fire. However, its coach house, which was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, and has always been a coach house, since it was built contemporaneously with the original structure. If, in fact, that was saved from destruction, that, in fact, would retain its significance because it's a FL, you know, it's an FL Wright original design. God forbid that something like that should happen, but that's the classic example of, yeah, technically it could be different. Or, you know, we find out, you know, through notes going through his estate, IMP, in fact, designed a garage for David's home, and Shazam, David takes down his current garage, builds the IMP design. It's like, well, it's an IMP design. It's by definition significant, apart from the fact that it's the Davenport house.
After 50 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if it'd have to be 50 years old, though.
Is that one of the prerequisites of the Secretary of State's?
Typically, yes.
Or second.
Typically, yeah. Yes. Yeah. But then again, would it then fall into the historic significance that it's associated with someone who is historically significant as opposed to just the time frame? I don't know.
It was a post-mortem design reconstructed.
I don't know. I don't know. In any event, okay.
Didn't think of that one, did you, Jen?
So, second question. How do we treat the review of proposed alterations to the accessory structures? I think it's the same as the demolition. Namely, the question is, does it fall to the level of, yes, it should be reviewed, and if it does, then you go through the prior process with respect to sufficiency of the application and then review by
the full APC. I think it's the same as the process we just discussed.
Exactly. Yeah.
So a question for the commission. Would the 20% of the viewable facade, it would be of the accessory structure then? Because you're not doing the viewable facade of the entire significant property meaning the literal parcel, which is what this commission views it as. So if we were going to do, for an example, this is actually, I've been meaning to ask this question. This works out well at Keystone and I think it's the Hatch House, the one that was built by Frank Lloyd Wright in the pamphlet for a while. Someone came to me interested in reworking parts of the garage, which is in fact a stable. And they ended up not doing anything to my knowledge. But I remember being like, well, is it 20% of the facade of this structure? So just to put that out there, I think that would be something, I guess, just reconfirming that it would be treated as same as if it was the principal structure. Am I making sense?
Yeah, personally, okay. I think it makes sense to be 20% of the affected building.
Its own entity would be,
yeah,
20% of the house, 20% of the, I agree, Dave.
Now, just as, you know, historical anecdote, the 20%, God knows where that came from, but it's always been, honestly, it did make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. It is viewed as a 20% being a linear measurement of one side of the viewable side, as opposed to the entirety of the entire structure. So it's kind of different.
That would be something I would, I guess that also is a question for myself, but for the commission to maybe revisit what they want as the definition of viewable facade or what the 20% is.
It's not a square footage number. It's a linear.
It's linear. And I mean, it's pretty precise. It's 20% of the lineal square footage as viewed from a public street, which, and I have always taken that to mean if you can see something from a public street, which in most instances means front and two sides, but not the back, then it's subject to review. Because you can see all three sides, typically, of most structures from the street. Now, if someone wants to come up with a better calculation of significance rather than 20% of the linear square footage, I'm all ears. Because I think it's just kind of a little unwieldy in a lot of instances.
I think you take the square footage of each thing, and if you're dusting more than 20% of those visible square footages, then it's...
So in other words, basically, if you've got, if it's 15% of the linear square footage, but goes all the way up, let's say you're ripping down a chimney, which is certainly going to be less than 20% of the width of a side, but it's going to go up and it's going to impact potentially 20% of a facade.
Which one benefits us more, square footage or the linear?
I don't know.
To run some math on that one and see what how it falls.
Seems like we could do some research with other jurisdictions as to what their definition is.
I know in my practice, anything at all that's visible from the public way, we always go before the historic people, no matter what, just to be on the safe side.
And just to fill in some other stuff, I thought I would save this till the next meeting, but staff were having discussions on ways to reach people prior to them submitting a building permit, such as like a every couple of year mailer, or we are working on a new welcome packet for people when they move in. So that would come through our finance department when someone moves in. Then we could, it would be an extra trigger, and we could send them a letter that the commission can write, being like a reminder, any proposed, please come reach out to village staff.
Well, many years ago, Luke, we talked about getting it out to real estate agents, but there's so many of the local ones, it's easy. Ones that aren't local, there's no way to cover all that. So a welcome package is a great idea.
That's already in the works just in general, but then there could be a tack on for that because we would know that this property is historic, so they can get an extra pamphlet or something along those lines. Or we were thinking of when someone even on LAMA, which is our permit portal, if someone even types in the address, like something can come up like that, this is a historic property, please reach out to staff for further discussions. So it's just even the search of it. We're just looking into this, discussions with Matt and Jessica and myself about it. But
that's great. I like it.
Any further discussions about this prior topic? That I'll then move on to original question three. And that is, I noticed in, I re-listened to the tape. There was a request, and I think Matt picked it up in his memo, for discussion of extending the period of potential demolition of significant properties from the current 6 months. Now, we can go up to 12 months with certain, and it's not a precise definition. There is a precise definition in the ordinance, basically public use kinds of things. It's what we did with respect to things like the Priory property, things like schools, churches, which would almost by definition have multiple occupants And it would take time to identify multiple potential occupants to avert a demolition of such a significant property. That in and of itself would take time. Then you'd have to get financing in place. And the village board agreed that 12 months was appropriate for, in that context. So the question is, do we want to propose extending the 6 months? If in fact we do, I would suggest that extending the period of the potential delay has always been the most difficult of the areas that we have proposed. So to the extent that folks feel strongly about this, I would invite them to join me in the presentation to the village board, which I'll wind up doing when this whole thing is completed so that they know what we're proposing in toto.
I remember spending a long time, like several meetings on this, when the whole ordinance was revised. And I cannot remember how long ago that was. Seems like a century or so. But I remember reading, going through the ordinances of many different
villages, jurisdictions,
villages in Illinois and elsewhere in the country, and somehow we settled on 6 months because we thought 12 months was too long. And what did we have then? 90 days or something like that?
We previously had 90 days. It was just not enough.
Not enough. And the 6 months seemed reasonable. I mean, personally, I would like longer, but I think it just would create so much, use the word dissension.
Yeah.
Not in the commission, but in the village.
Yeah.
Two ideas. We learned from William Street that 6 months for residents is nothing. Mm-hmm. It didn't affect it at all. I'd prefer it be longer, a year for residential, but I also, I'll put it this way, Dave, if psychologically speaking, we go before the board and say, we'd like this, 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 and this, and they say, would it behoove us to give them the chance to say, no, you can't have that. So they're not giving us everything we want. Does that make any sense? Like I get a kid asking for five lollipops and he gets one. Or do you think it's behooves us not even to mention it? And I'll go whatever you think.
My gut reaction is I think 6 months is probably on the short end of what I would find acceptable. At the same point in time, I don't think we have to throw in something that we feel would be a potential loser, because I think everything else we've talked about tonight, in fact, does a couple of things. It shortens the time frame. It allows us to have more meaningful input. And it basically shows that, in fact, as a working commission, we have paid attention to people's concerns and we have stepped back, spent the time and energy and horsepower to figure out ways to make this work better. So I would be confident that everything we talked about before the extended demolition delay would be approved, I would think, because it all is consistent with public comments that we have received. And effectively what it does is it puts us more in line, as you gentlemen as architects have described, the current order of practice in most communities. I think that there's always some things you might like to see. I would probably reserve that for a subsequent issue if, in fact, we had a series of events that we could point to saying this property, and this property were endangered and or demolished because we didn't have a sufficient length of time.
700 block of William was an incredibly unique block.
Absolutely.
That's one of the four or five things that still stings me when I think about it.
I understand.
That was gone.
I understand. So I understand.
I that one alone is enough, but I see where you're coming from.
I mean, if
I'd be happy to go with you to the meeting and be the one that stands up and says, we're going to, maybe in the future, we're going to come to you with some, once you think about it, we're going to come with you a longer because we lost this. We lost the tooth out of our smile on this.
Yeah.
Street. Okay.
What address was that?
747.
Yeah, 747 was the one at the head. It's the 700 block of William. The number of homes were apparently designed by the same architect in the Prairie School, roughly contemporaneous. And several, I think three in one fell swoop, were undergoing some degree of renovation. The one at the southeast corner of William and whatever the cross street is, underwent substantial renovation that surprised some of us, I'll put it that way, in terms of the end result.
And 747 was literally demolished. And
I have something we could toss out, though, and with this demolition topic. With 747 William, I don't know who said that that building was not structurally sound.
Oh, just the builder.
Yeah.
Well,
we walked through and said it wasn't. We saw the buildings today.
He was willing to say anything because then he went up the street to the house on the corner at 755 William. The same architect has said, it's great shape. Yeah, all you have to do is put on an addition. So somewhere, and maybe it's with the Oak Park example, I saw something about requiring
outside park,
an
not
outside engineer. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have that in the language, I think it should go in.
Yeah, we do not.
The other thing that I wish with the Mars
or the mansion,
we had been able to get photos of the interior because that was still extraordinary.
Yeah, to provide a little bit of background, the Vilas, so-called Mars Mansion, the original owner was the president of a plumbing supply company and lighting supply company in the Chicago area, in Chicago. And I was contacted by two of his grandchildren, one of whom is an architect in Japan, one of whom lives in the Seattle area. And they both said that they had attempted on several occasions unsuccessfully to contact the owner that had purchased the property to get a single sconce or other item in the home as a family memento and or take photographs, because that the architect's entire catalog of drawings is held at the University of Illinois in Champaign, and they wanted to complete it. And they never got return phone calls or any response. And accordingly, the building was destroyed. I also believe at that time that my recollection is that there was a massive amount of what are called inset copper gutters, which the granddaughter living in Seattle had told me that her grandfather had specced to withstand the weight of two workmen working inside the gutter. And they were torn down and they were not salvaged or sold for scrap. They were just demolished and carted off, which is, forget about from a preservation standpoint, economically, that's just losing. It's losing a significant monetary asset. But be that as it may, look, if we want to do that, you know, what's the time frame? What's going to happen is Luke's going to come up with a proposal. We're going to see it at our next meeting. We're going to comment. We'll vote on it, including whatever, you know, we'll do whatever necessary drafting changes at that meeting to figure out what it is that we'll put it in front of the village board. And David, I'll take you up on it because I know you feel passionately about it. And I fully understand. And candidly, I agree with what you're saying, that I think 6 months is at the, it's at the short end of what is appropriate. The 90 days was a lick and a promise. And now we've got something that's like a bee sting. it will go away after a period of time and could be ignored. But at the same point in time, something more significant, you know, 6 months up to 9 months, that in fact would impact people because it would take them out of a construction season. So
just to reiterate, the chairman, so process would be at the next meeting. Hopefully to have, obviously we need a quorum, but as many attendance as possible, I would, in the packet would be a draft ordinance. So what I would probably do would be distribute a base ordinance of what it is currently, and then a redlined version so people can see the changes, and then probably an unredlined proposed ordinance. So be a larger packet. Also, I think I would, at that time, maybe we consider our current or existing ordinance has flow charts. Would that be a time to, I think I would probably create flow charts for each existing situation.
Sure.
And I think that would be included too for the commission's review. Then once the commission was happy with it, let's say it could go another meeting as well if something were to come up. But if the commission is happy, they will vote for have it recommended for review by the village board. And it would go under agenda item 7, recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. And from there, the board could either approve, reject, or return with comments, and we'll go from there.
Makes sense to me. Anything else on this generic topic of amending the ordinance? Your smile says it all, Scott. Okay. Additional ways to protect significant properties. Dare I suggest that we've just talked about that for the last hour and 20 minutes?
We're doing it.
I mean, okay. Discussion regarding promotion of River Forest architecture and history. Do we have anything?
Actually, a quick question. When would the commission like for me to put out the award notices about the award applications?
I truly think that should be every other year. I mean, they've come in with such dribs and drabs.
You do that. I mean, I think the other thing we need to update, because I think currently it talks about something completed since, was it like 2016 or 2017? I think we just need to update that. So it's like within the last, I don't know, 5 years or something.
5 year limit or something.
Yeah. Okay.
if it got bogged down with COVID.
Yeah. And every other year makes some sense, I agree, partly.
Yeah. You're right. Drips and drips.
I would say most people won't be able to have a deadline to get in before the winter, so it could be issued mm-hmm. in the winter or
yeah.
the new year or something like that.
And maybe we could do it every even year.
Yeah, it's a great idea because we don't want to have to, you know, come up with an award for something that,
yeah.
you know, we don't feel is needed.
Yeah. Anything else? Is there any other business?
Yes, as a matter of fact. So one of our past commissioners, and she might have even been a chairperson, said to me at it was an event, she said, "You need to get new historical district signs. Those were the original signs." And so I thought I'd toss it out that, you know, it's the sign, I guess it's generically what's used for anything, you know, like no parking and.
We talked about banners at one time off the streetlights, I remember. Mm-hmm.
So just something to think about.
How's Laurel doing?
She's doing great. In fact, they're thinking of crawling back to the area. It's either going to be here or Oak Park.
This commission exists because of her, Dave, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess they've finally decided that, how long has it been? 5 years or more?
Oh no. She was our chair for the first 2 years. And then that would have been like 2007, 2008. And she was on the commission for like a year after that. And then they moved.
Okay.
And
it's been a while.
It's been a while. Good.
Yeah. So,
great to have her back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something to think. Yeah, that was the big thing. Okay.
Anything else?
That was it.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
We're in good shape, Dave.
Luke?
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White?
Yeah.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Commissioner Randall Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Commissioner Kaczynski?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:21.